21. And as you find your place, let's all stand together, please, out of reverence for the Word of God. I want to ask for some fellas to help us, if you can, right after service, to set up the center aisle for a wedding that we're having this Saturday. I can't remember exactly who it is, but I know I'm supposed to be here sometime on Saturday. But anyway, for whoever's wedding it is, if you'll just come whatever time it's at, just come and be here for that. I know that'll be a blessing. But if we could get you to set up for that right after church, I know that would be a great blessing. It is good to have John Matthew back with us also, back from his annual trek to the homeland. He was in India for 3 weeks. Is that right? He got in at 2 o'clock this afternoon, which means it's about 10 o'clock tomorrow in his biological clock. So he's tired and hungry and grumpy, so don't talk to him afterward. Trust me, he's not worthy of talking to you right now. He's just really a grumpy. Just kidding. He actually does very well with that, and I appreciate him being here, though he is extremely exhausted. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9, the Bible says very carefully, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Say, oh, great, here we go. Well, as if that wasn't enough, look at verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So I'm going to tiptoe through the tulips tonight as well as I can and see if we can get something out of the Word of God. How many believe that every verse of the Bible is inspired of God? It's necessary. We have to go line upon line. Someone said, where do you get your material for your sermons? I said, by going verse by verse by verse. Steve, how long have we been doing this now? Coming up on October, what's your... October 2009. Does it say October what? Okay, so we got a month to finish. No. So 2009, so that's 6 years we've been going through, verse by verse. And I would be remiss if I didn't give homage to every verse in Scripture. And so we're going to go through this selectively and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. And I made sure that the girls in my family don't have any sharp objects that they can throw at me or anything. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are certainly grateful for the Bible tonight, and we're thankful for every verse. And God, though this may sound like a contentious verse, it is meant to prevent such things. And so I yield myself to you tonight, and I ask that you'd please help me to be emptied and cleansed so that I may be filled with your Spirit. God, I ask that you'd use me tonight as your vessel. I yield myself to be an instrument of righteousness, and I ask that you'd help me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Unhappy homes are filled with foolish children, contentious wives, and ungodly men. Though there was a time in Solomon's young life when he demonstrated a sincere heart for God, and though he sought for wisdom over mirth and even over money, there came a point in his life when he decided to go against the wisdom of God. By the way, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. And how many know that whenever you go against the wisdom of God, that could be the Bible definition of foolishness? I mean, we would be idiotic, moronic. You put the adjective to whatever, you choose the adjective, we would simply be foolish to go against God's wisdom. And so there was a time when, if you think about it, that the wisest man in all of the world decided to just throw aside the wisdom of God and do whatever he wanted to do. And the Bible tells us about it in 1 Kings chapter 11, and it has to do what I believe how God spawned and inspired this verse to help his own children. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites, Zidonians and Hittites, of the nations concerning, watch this, which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will, watch, turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, isn't that interesting? The God would say, don't go unto them, but Solomon said, no, I'm going to cleave unto these. Watch the next verse. And he had 700 of them. Not just wives, princesses, and then 300 concubines on top of that. And his wives turned away his heart. What a sad commentary. As a father inspired to help his son and future sons and daughters, God then inspires a king to write about the better and the worse to those to whom God would use to bless a life and those to whom Satan would use to curse a life. And our text is a fairly simple one, and yet it must be one of vital importance because the thought is repeated many times. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me back to the book of Proverbs, and I want to show you several of these verses that God highlights for us, so there must be some reason behind this. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 24. Proverbs 25 and verse 24. And we're going to go backwards, so we'll be going toward the beginning of the book. But we're going to begin in Proverbs 25, 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Now go to Proverbs 21, 19. We read that one. Go to Proverbs 17, 1. So the Bible says in Proverbs 21, 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 17, 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with what? Strife. Now go two chapters before and go to Proverbs 15 and verse 16. God here is building a case that he uses a father who has gotten off course and he's gone to commit himself to over 1,000 wives and women in his life, and now he's using those experiences to try to help the next generation. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure that he had and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You see how God just takes these verses and in 15 and then 17 and 21 twice there and then in 25 and many other verses, he weaves this thread through there where it's almost as if Solomon's heart is seeping out onto the pages of the text. God has an intended plan for our hearts as well as our homes, and his plan, listen carefully, does not include strife. It doesn't include contention or bitterness or anger. God's plan for our hearts and homes includes peace, love, and joy. Listen to the Bible of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. So he doesn't want you to be in a position where you can't call. Then shall you call upon me, and shall you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Now, as born-again children of God, we are the ones to whom God has revealed his word to. And we then become responsible as to the kind of person we are and the kind of home that we're going to create. One is better and one that is worse. The indication from Scripture is that a woman then has great power to help, hinder, or hurt the people around her. There is a great value put on the woman in the relationship. And God says, because you have such influence and power, I want to make sure that you understand. By the way, you could use and you could argue every principle that we'll talk tonight is unisex. It goes the way of a man and a woman. God just happens to be addressing it because of the influence on a man's heart that was turned away from his God to go after strange women. And so, with a tremendous evaluation on her life, God indicates then three consequential revelations I want to give them to you tonight. And we're going to look at lots of Scripture, and we're going to look at these different principles as they pertain to better or worse. First of all, God establishes the varieties of the women that you find in the world. There are 11 types of women mentioned in the book of Proverbs. Those 11 types can be categorized into three basic but vitally important categories. First of all, there is the devilish category. The Bible will indicate, if you go on a search for the different women in Proverbs, what I've categorized as devilish would be the strange woman, the whorish woman, the adulterous woman, and the evil woman. All of these women, by verse in Scripture, the text indicates that these women are insecure, they are immoral, and they are irreverent to the truth of God. They are sensual, they are carnal, and they are wickedly sinful on purpose. They are women who take their prompting from Satan and the world. The text in your notes, Proverbs 6:21, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of her tongue, of the tongue of a strange woman. So God says, hey, and the previous text is trying to say, listen, I'm giving you principles in your life to stay away from this category of woman. Why is that? Because he found that category. He found it very fulfilling for a moment. But what did it bring? Gravel to his mouth. What it brought to him was a lowliness of heart. So there's the category of four women that I've compiled into what we'll call the devilish women. Then letter B, the second category are the destroyers. So there's those that are devilish, then there are those that are the destroyers. I call this group destroyers because every context they are mentioned, in every context that they are mentioned as being within a marriage relationship and within a home. Proverbs 14 and verse 1, listen, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. So the very actions of a foolish woman bring down what God says she's supposed to be upholding, building, and supporting. So then, these women that the Bible describes, these women in a variety of different ways, and the adjectives in the Word of God are as follows. There are the foolish, the brawling, the contentious, the odious, and the angry. The foolish woman is the independent woman of God. She is deliberate in sin and doesn't receive instruction or reproof. The brawling is the contentious. She's full of strife. By the way, 8 times mentioned in the Word of God, that word brawling is used to describe these women. Contentious, this is the same as those that are brawling, just a different Hebrew word describing the same, but much more full of strife. The term odious is someone that is hate-filled, and the term angry is the provoker. This is the vexatious, according to the definition. Proverbs 9:13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Proverbs 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. So it is a great affliction then for a man to find a good thing. By the way, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says that a prudent wife is of the Lord. And so it would be a great affliction for a man to find a good thing in a wife only to have her turn into a shameful thing. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, this is pretty strong language. But the fact of the matter is, this house spoken of in our text tonight is a social house. Go back to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, the wide house here is a social house. It is set up specifically for fellowship and friendship. It's set up not for folly, but for a specific purpose, that there would be an enjoyable spirit, one used for all of these things. It is a vast house. By the way, Solomon would have had a vast house. He would have had many means. He would have had many rooms that he could retreat to. But the parent is that there's not enough room within the house to get away from what is happening, that he has to retreat to the top of the house or even to the wilderness. It's a vast house, but it cannot be used then for such things due to the woman who lives there. The indication from these verses is that a woman can be of such means as to scold, chide, or vex her children and spouse alike for an occasion or even without one. The idea, but John Matthew's commentary is right there. The idea is that any time and for every reason or even without, he says, this woman is going to be one that is unlivable with. So I offer to you 2 biblical giants that had to live with such a woman. David would be one that lived with Michal. He couldn't even celebrate the return of the ark without Michal being bitter and envy and jealous, and only a fool uttereth all of her mind. And when she did, God cursed her and she wasn't allowed to have babies. God said, okay, you're barren. That's it. As hard as she wanted to, as much as she wanted to, God said, no, you can't because of your spirit. And yet there was another spiritual giant that was vexed with this kind of woman, and his name was Job. In fact, the Bible says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse integrity, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. 11 types of women. The first four we'll categorize as devilish. They're sensual, they're carnal, they take their prompting from Satan. The second category would be those who are destroyers. They are the ones that tear down. They take their prompting from themselves. They take their prompting from their own desires, and they become destroyers. Thirdly, then, there's a third category, and these are the devoted. The devoted. The other categories include the sensual, the selfish, the scorners, and the shameful. This category would be solely for the spiritual, those who live in the Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, this group of ladies, Solomon and the Lord, hold in high regard. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So the two that are left are categorized as wise and virtuous. Now, the word virtuous means full of strength or the strength of God. It is a confidence in the Lord, not in self. It is meek in spirit and valiant in faith. The word wise is used to show a reverence to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the builder. This is the supporter of God's plan, especially in the home. Now, this would be the group then that God blesses with peace. This would be the group that God uses to show the love of God and to bring the joy that goes beyond any understanding. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now, how do you like that? That's two out of the 3 points in 12 minutes. Okay? Now, wisdom establishes... I'm sorry, that's just the first point. Man, I thought I was humming along. Wisdom establishes the varieties of wisdom. And by the way, that's a pretty good broad stroke. It really is. And so then we see, secondly, that the Bible exemplifies the virtuous. Now, you can go and read of her in Proverbs 31:10 through 31. In just a few verses that we mentioned tonight, God mentions the behaviors or character traits of women that are unacceptable for a happy, godly home. Their life does not make a home better, it makes it worse. Then, in Holy Spirit fashion, Scripture marks the faithful one, the virtuous one, to follow and dedicates an entire three-quarters of a chapter in Proverbs to her alone. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31, many people believe Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, were written by Solomon about his mother Bathsheba as an example or as someone to follow in hopes of two things. Number one, that his son wouldn't make the same mistake he made. And that number two, that his son would find a prudent wife from the Lord. Now the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. So God here takes this great, beautiful creation that He's taken from Adam's side. And it says, I have given you a specific role, and based on your actions, you, in fact, will make your home for better or for worse. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use my infinite wisdom and the experience of people whom I know are my children and their mistakes, and I want to keep you from making the same mistakes. And I want you to learn from them. And in godlike fashion, He says, now, here's some things that happen with all the ones that are not going to walk with me, but this, now, this is what I want you to pay attention to. And He outlines a beautiful trait of the one to follow. If you read through the verses of Proverbs chapter 31, you'll find, letter A, that she's very trustworthy. Proverbs 31 and verse 11 tells us, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Letter B, she's committed, and she's committed in a threefold way. She's committed to God. Just read the text. She's committed to her husband, and she's committed to her children, all of which are required to be virtuous, to someone who's going to be valiant in her faith. Thirdly, you'll find in verses 25, 27, and 30 that she's extremely diligent. Look, if you will, in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The Bible says she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. So she's diligent even in her walk with the Lord. Letter D, she's wise at heart. Notice this, she openeth not her mouth, verse 26, with wisdom. I'm sorry, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You say, how is that wise at heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She cares, and she's diligent about that. Letter E, she's honorable. Her children, verse 28, rise up and shall call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Letter F, she's balanced. In other words, she's not emotionally driven. She's balanced by the grace of God. Notice, if you will, in verse 17. She girdeth her loins with what? Strength. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow of her household. She's not afraid. She's not afraid. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 25, strength, there it is again, and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She doesn't always have to be rejoicing. She knows she's going to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. Everybody with me? She's balanced. She's not emotionally driven. Letter G, she has right priorities. I like this. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, and she knows it. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, the mark of a virtuous woman is what she does with what God has given to her. She's not a waster of time. She's not a waster of treasure. She's not a waster of talent or of the truth. Just read the text. The perfect balance is right through the middle of that. This is the woman that God exemplifies. And by the way, just like any truth in the Word of God, we're not trying to read the Bible to say how unacceptable and how deficient we are. We're trying to read the Bible to say, hey, that's a mark. And I need to press toward that mark. I need to try to be growing in grace. Listen, if the mark is Jesus Christ, if you get down because you don't feel like you could be a virtuous woman tonight, then you might as well quit the Christian life, because that's the same attitude that some Christians think, well, if I can ever be like Jesus, I should just not even try. I'm not even going to come to church. I'm not even going to be faithful. Does that even make sense? No. Because according to the Bible, you can do all things that Christ strengthened through Christ. You can, by the grace of God, have a bridle on your tongue. You can, by the grace of God, have a bridle on your emotions. You can, by the grace of God, be a virtuous man or a woman of God. He exemplifies the virtuous. Now, number three, let me give you some application. I think the Bible also elevates the victorious. The Bible then elevates the victorious. Now, we have this paradox here. We have the devilish, the destroyers, and we have on that side the, what I call them? What's the third D under number one? Huh? Devoted. Now listen very carefully, and hopefully this will make sense. Our enemy is Satan. How many believe that? You better understand, you've got an enemy tonight, whether you like it or not. Our enemy is Satan, and he works at attacking us at the point of truth. Okay? So if you're ever trying to figure out, what's Satan trying to do? Whatever the Bible says is right, he's going to attack it there. Wherever the point of truth is, Satan is going to attack. So, if God says, be humble, Satan says, no, you need to be proud. Right? If God says, I want you to be submissive, Satan says, no, stand up for yourself. If God says, I want you to follow and be a servant, Satan says, no, you need to lead. If God says, I want you to tell the truth, I want you to live in truth, it's going to set you free. The devil is the father of lies. The truth is not in it. If God says to forgive, Satan says, no, you need to be bitter. If God says, I want you to be dependent upon me, Satan says, no, you need to be independent. You can do it on your own. God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. You don't need God. If God says, love others, Satan says, no, love yourself and just care for yourself. If God says, be wise, the devil says, you need to act like a fool. Now, that's just the point of Satan's attack. If we can't figure that out, then we don't know the meaning of the verse where the Bible says we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. So then, primarily speaking, I see in Proverbs, because of the attacks of Satan, and because of what's revealed in these three categories, I see three victors when it comes to the type of women that are mentioned. First of all, the first victor are the ones who decide not to be a worse woman. If I'm given the list of the 11 different types of women and 9 of them are not pleasing to God and 2 of them are pleasing to God, it just seems to make sense that I would choose to be the man or the woman that God wants me to be. God says, I've done this so that you can be victorious. By the way, there are people who start out in these categories who can become in that category by the grace of God. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:20 in your notes, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I and you can decide to be a better than a worse, all by choice. I guess it boils down to who we're going to listen to. Am I going to accept the truth, and am I going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to let the truth set me free, or am I going to remain bound to be a destroyer or a devil's child? The choice is yours. And yet, the book of Proverbs is written to bring a light to the darkness, to make the simple wise, to guide us into dark sayings that we would know the truth. So when Solomon reveals this, it's to say, listen, you don't have to remain a whorish woman. You don't have to remain an angry woman. You don't have to remain an adulterer. You can be a virtuous woman by the grace of God. So he's saying this for our benefit. Those who decide not to be a worse woman is a victor. Secondly, those who decide not to be with a worse woman are a victor. Should Rehoboam ever listen to his dad and decide that he wants to find a woman, then he should find a woman of God. That's why the Bible says, and I think you have it in your notes, in Amos 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I don't know of a man that would get into a relationship with any one of the devilish or the destroyers and say, it's not that big of a deal. As long as we have a big house, I can always live in the back room. It's okay, I'll put up with her, I'll love her, and she'll get better after I get married. All the problems will go away after, Mike, I say I do. We won't have any more, we'll never fight again. After we say I do, we'll just live in marital bliss and for happily ever after. No, I think because I'm a dad, Solomon was hoping that Rehoboam would have enough brain matter between his earlobes to say, you know what, Dad, I've looked at those 1,000 women and that was bad mojo on your part. You shouldn't have done that. At least Solomon's willing to come forth. Let me just encourage you, those of us that have children that are still unwed, that we make sure that we guide them into all truth. They make decisions that are going to be blessed of God. Who are the victors? The victorious, those who decide not to be a worse woman, those who decide not to be with a worse woman, but wait, there's the third one. Those who decide to stay with that kind for better or for worse. Now, the Bible indicates in Proverbs chapter 21 in our text verse, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. But what if you are in the house already? What if you've created it? What if by your provocation you have made a wise or a virtuous woman into a brawling and contentious and an odious and an angry woman? Then what? Well, I would remind you, as I did in the earlier verse, where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. I never, ever, ever, ever think that it's God's will for somebody to say, that's it, I'm done. I don't counsel for divorce. I never have, I never will. Why? Because the grace of God is sufficient for every need. Watch this. In your notes, Psalm 55, verse 14. I know this was just a sweet verse to me this afternoon. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Did you know if more couples were decide to take sweet counsel together and they would both say, God, I want to be a victorious Christian. I want to be in this devoted section as an individual. Did you know that that verse would mean so much more to them? Those who decide to stay are those that have decided to say, you know what? I'm committed to changing myself. And there's nothing more beautiful than a husband and a wife that decide to take responsibility for their own actions and say, God, will you please help me to be a virtuous man or woman? There's nothing more beautiful in all of God's planet. Why? Because the picture is of Christ in church. Because God elevates the victorious, and you could not argue with the promise of God that His grace is sufficient in our weakness. Anybody that lives in that situation with a brawling woman or with a contentious or an angry or an odious woman, anybody that lives in that case, even if she has been rottenness to the bones, would have to cry out for help to God. And God would give them grace if they would just decide, this is what I want to be. And God, I've got to trust you with the rest of it. Do you think that God would give grace to a husband, or better yet, even grace to a wife who lived with an odious husband? I think Nabal's wife, Abigail, was full of it. Full of the amazing grace of God. Why should it be any different the other way around? God says, hey, you have great power. You have great influence. Don't live like this and be a destroyer. Don't live like this and listen to the devil. Live like this. Live like a devoted, virtuous, wise woman and use that influence to guide your home, support the plan of God, and let God bless you for it. These characteristics then are unisex. But God in His wisdom speaks selectively of the woman in our lives because of the tremendous power she wields. Ladies and gentlemen, then we get to choose what kind of Christians we're going to be. Better or worse? Lord, I love you and I thank you for the simple word of God. I thank you for helping us tonight, and I pray that, Lord, that we would accept the truth for what it is. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply the truth where it needs to be applied. And I pray that you'd be glorified and honored. I sure love you. And I thank you for loving me. And I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be the husband that you've called me to be. In fact, Lord, the husband that my wife needs. Would you please help me to walk, live in the Spirit of God, worthy of the call of God in my life as a Christian. Lord, I pray for every marriage in this room. Every marriage represented in our church, that it would be holy. Lord, that we would trust in you. God, I pray for our kids. I pray for my boys. Lord, I pray that you'd guide them to the woman who has a heart for God. A woman who wants to be in the house of God. A woman who wants to win souls for the sake of God. Lord, I pray that you'd guide them to the woman who wants to serve God. Lord, I know that if they'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that young lady that you've saved, you've prepared for them, they'll find. I pray that you keep their heart with all diligence, Lord, and help them to do so that they could find her. Lord, I pray for every teenager in our church, for every young person in our church that is eligible for marriage, that they wouldn't settle. Lord, they wouldn't settle for availability. Lord, rather, that they would seek godliness. Lord, knowing that once they make a vow and a commitment, it's forever. And so, Lord, I pray that you keep the devil from our homes. Pray that you'd help us to settle things tonight with you in our heart. God, there are people that we don't need to be like. These ladies in the Bible that you have marked cause division. Lord, but the ones that you have marked and said to be faithful, you've called virtuous. Help us to be virtuous Christians. Virtuous Christians, Lord, are victorious Christians. Help us to be full of the strength of our God so that you'll be glorified. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to have you just remain seated. I'm going to ask Miss Roy to play, and as she does, I wonder if God's spoken to your heart tonight about a matter. And I wonder if you just let the whole